Matthew chapter 28. Quickly. We were teaching from Matthew 28 for a long time and we'll keep teaching from there. Glory to God. Oops. Matthew 28 verse 18. We are discussing on the topic I titled, what should happen after a believer's conversion? Hallelujah. What should happen after a believer's conversion? You know, when we go for believers' meetings, when believers gather together, when believers come together, when we are having believers' meetings, when we come to church, it's not to have good times. It's not to have great times. You know, some people say, I have a service today. I had a wonderful time. What happened? Man, I danced out. You know? Some people, the only way, because they are told, you know, people like me that have Orthodox bringing, then Protestants, if you are from Protestants, you are neither an Orthodox, neither are you a Pentecostal, you are in between. So your confusion cannot be detected. Hallelujah. So we that have Orthodox bringing, your type is like you are neither hot nor cold. You know what I mean? Because you are protesting. You can be protesting against the Pentecostals or against the Orthodox. Okay, let's go ahead. So, you know, having an Orthodox background, you know, we are told, blessed is he that, that's from Psalms, that sitteth not in the seat of the scornful, nor, you know, that verse. So, he's a God. He said, that's Psalms chapter 1. Now, in answer, no, we believe we don't dance, we shouldn't dance secular music outside. So we leave all the secular music and bring it to church. Especially when we're having bazaar. In church, bazaar. Church. What they do in closing year meeting, going. He found his way into the church. Say, bring your harvest. People are bringing harvest. Yam and every other thing, and they are bringing it to God. You know, it sounds funny bringing your harvest to God. God is going to eat the pineapple, God is going to eat the yam. Glory to God. And you are not a farmer, you are a banker like myself, and you are bringing your fruits of harvest. Glory to God. So we now display all the dance keys in church. Why bringing it to the altar? Hallelujah. Why bringing it to the church? Altar, yeah, you call it altar. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I remember the time ago, while we were in first year, one of my roommates came to the room and he was sweating on a Sunday. And I asked him, when he came to the room, I said, I don't want to call his name for some reason. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So I asked him, Chairman, what happened? I was in the same service, but I had to leave. Let me not bore you with the details. What happened to leave? But it's an American church in school. So I had to leave that meeting. So when I left, he came to meet me. He was sweating. I said, guy, how far? Why are you sweating like this? Amen. I danced today. I was surprised. What happens if you see me? I cause traffic. Ah! They know the person control. That is your definition of the case teacher. Say the most person control. How when I dance that I go back? Eh? Ah! They know the dancer control. So all those dancers didn't dance the Skenewu, the Zlatan, they didn't dance in the club. You now bring it to church. I am dancing Zlatan in church. Everywhere, you are causing traffic. As a man, the Lord received my dance. No, how did you call it? My dance of praise. You know, ignorance can kill. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Those of you who pray for light, you know, person. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. So ignorance can kill. That is why you come to dance this ladder. Are you dancing it? Are you causing traffic? I said, man, service today was great. You can't remember what you were taught because it's short service message. You know what I mean? SMS. 15 minutes message. And it's full of self motivation. You know you can make it. All you need to do is keep pushing, pushing, pushing. You will make it. You know, God has given us money. That's what you get. Hallelujah. And you dance. Have you not seen when Thanksgiving will take about 45 minutes of the service? Just in Thanksgiving. Are you down to it for 10 minutes? Are you sweating? Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. So we don't go to believers' meetings to have a nice time, to have a dance time. No, we don't. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Where's the writing material? You don't have? Oh, you have. Okay. You're right. That's why we're in church. Hallelujah. Make sure you are writing. Are you writing them? Okay. Hallelujah. So we don't come to church to have a nice time. No. No. We come to church to be taught the word of God. You come to get improved upon. We're going to see that shortly. When you go for special meetings like conventions, you don't have believers' conventions every Sunday. Right? So these are special meetings. So you go for special meetings to receive a mandate. Hallelujah. Ask us to open Matthew 28. Right? Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of every nation. He said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He said, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He says, all authority. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. We discussed this a bit last week, but I'm going to look at it again. When it says the word heaven and earth, right? It means heaven and earth in the same place. Heaven and earth in the same place. So when it says all power, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, it means it talks about heaven and earth in the same place. Do you understand me? In the same place. I would say this is Moses' writings. Right? Moses' writings. For Moses' writings, heaven will represent God. Right? Right? And earth represents where we are. So, when they look at, when they talk about heaven in Moses, in the scriptures, in the Old Testament, it will signify the skies. So, what is used? Remember, the sky is not heaven. It's a what? Symbol. Do you understand me? Aha. So, the sky, when you say heaven, up, earth, yeah, right? So, Moses will not use that in his writing to talk about God and man. So, heaven will signify God. Earth will signify man. So that is why it becomes wrong interpretation of scripture to say Genesis chapter 1 is talking about creation. Or it's talking about history. It's not history. No. Let's leave creation. The word creation was a slip of tongue. Hallelujah. It's not history. Moses wasn't writing history. He said, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. He now says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness, that is, darkness was upon the face of the deep. It's telling you about the state of man. Hallelujah. Amen. Because the earth in Moses' writing will be man. Now he said, darkness was upon the face of the deep, meaning that the heart of man, when it talks about darkness upon the face of the deep, it refers to what the heart of man, the man without Christ. Are you hearing me? The man without Christ is in darkness. No wonder when a man becomes born again. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, 13, it says, he has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness. Did you get that? From the kingdom. The word kingdom is the domain of darkness. And he has translated us to the kingdom of his dear son in the light. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So that is the man without Christ. That is what it explained in Genesis 1, 2. Glory to God. Now Jesus will now pick Moses' narrative of heaven and earth. I will now say, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Before we get there, let's look at Moses. Because Moses will tell them about the fact that God and man will be in the same place. And has the narrative of heaven and earth. Remember I told us that we'll look at that next year. Right? We'll look at that next year. We'll discuss that next year. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Amen.
But if you have the book, how to study your Bible in a simple way, you still you can do it there. To bend you where I can teach you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Volume 2. Glory to God.
Amen.
So, listen to this. Listen to this. Now he says, heaven and earth in the same place. Now because of their ignorance, no, not ignorance, because of their unbelief. Matthew 9 verse 8. Say Moses because of, Matthew 19 rather, Moses because of the hardness of your heart. Now the hardness of their heart will not be unbelief. Because of their unbelief, Moses will not give them what? A tabernacle. Now, the tabernacle, in the tabernacle, which is the temple, will not have, you know, what some people have turned to. Will not have the holiest of all. And the what do they call that? The outer court and the inner court. Let me use Hebrew's language. You have the outer court and inner. Now, the inner court is what is called the holiest of all. Now that is Moses' tabernacle. Now remember, Moses' tabernacle is a symbol. Hebrews chapter number 10. They are shadows. They are not the real thing. They are shadows. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Moses' tabernacle was to point to the tabernacle. What's the point of the real temple? Moses' temple is not the real temple. But it was used to explain what he meant by heaven and earth. Hallelujah. So it is believed, listen, it is believed that God stays in the holiest of all. Right? Right? And then they come to the outer court. So Moses used that to show them heaven and earth to be in the same place. God, which is heaven, which is used for heaven, and earth, man, in the same tabernacle. Did you get that? Hallelujah. That is why in John's writing, John chapter 1 verse 14, he says, in the beginning was, John 1, 1, he said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and God is the Word. Do you understand me? In the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word, and God is the Word. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, all things were made through him, and without him is anything made that is made. In him is life, and the life is the life of man. Now, what is John explaining? John is explaining Genesis. It says, in the beginning is the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word is God. It's the same was in the beginning with God, all things were made through him, and without him is anything made that is made. Say, in him is life. And in him is life, and his life is the light of men. Hallelujah. That light in Genesis chapter 1, that says, and God said, let there be light. Now that light in Genesis chapter 1 is what? Christ. Did you get that?
Yes, sir.
Now he now said, and that word became flesh. Hallelujah. He said that word became flesh, and he tabernacled amongst us. When you hear tabernacle, what comes to mind? Moses' temple comes to mind. God in man. God, did you see that? So the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Meaning Moses' tabernacle has now come alive. Did you get that? It's not available. What? The Word became flesh and tabernacled amongst us. Hallelujah. God in the earth. God in man. Did you get that? Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And in the New Testament, and in the epistles, Paul will not explain it. I said, you are the temple of the living God. So meaning what Moses wrote about was writing about the new creation. When Moses talks about the heavens and the earth, he's talking about the new creation. When Moses talks about the tabernacle, when Moses gave them the tabernacle, Moses was using the tabernacle to teach them about the new creation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the tabernacle, the temple of Moses, was to point to the new creation. Did you get that? Hallelujah. And in the new creation, heaven and earth is in the same place. So meaning heaven and earth is achieved in the man in Christ. Hallelujah. So when Jesus said all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, he's referring to what? The believers. Hallelujah. 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 So he's referring to the believers. Heaven and earth. So when he said all authority, when he had all authority, we said that last week. You cannot be using, you can't use the word all, and you now say all means every authority. Even the authority to go and steal. Even the authority to become the president of Nigeria. No, 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 no. When you hear all authority, that word all is the word pass. You stop this laughing again, I will take you outside. That word all is the word P-A-S, pass. Is the word that implies, see, when you hear the word pass, most often than few or none, it's used for what is within the context. You must have to read that context of speech to know what all is. Hallelujah. Just like when you hear, I can do all things through Christ that energizes me. You can't just say, I can do everything. Say, I have the Spirit of God. I'm born of God. I don't need to go to school to know anything. I can do all things. I can do all things. Come and do bank job. They will sack you. I can do all things. Say, you can do all things. Go and stand in the law court and say you're a lawyer because you can do all things. You can do all things. Go and become a mechanic. You can do all things. No, repair car. You can do all things. Go and carry a house. Or go and build a house. Because you say you can do it. No. No. You must look at it in context. Some people have used that word and they run into issues. The Bible says I can do all things now. Say, I can do all things. You can do all things. Yes. You can do all things. Some people have used that verse to commit atrocities. Say, I can do all things. No. Look at it in context. Paul was writing in context. So you have to look in context to know what Paul was talking about. The all things there will be what he said the verse before them. They are not to abound. Hallelujah. Do you get that? So all things there. So when you hear the word all things, don't be in a rush. You don't arrive at biblical conclusions in a rush. You know that you don't rush to arrive there. Some people, no. Next week we're going to look at that. The place of the Holy Spirit in Bible study. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. We'll look at that into December. Hallelujah. The place of the Holy Ghost in Bible study. What is the Spirit saying now? Go. Say go. Go therefore. Oh, go therefore. Maybe I can go to anywhere. Go therefore. I can walk into my MD's office and say the Bible says go therefore. And some people like that. They go to an organization and say, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The earth and all that is in it. So they went to the MD's office and they're around in it. I possess my possession. Wait. You possess a possession is like curriculum. It's just understanding. Hallelujah. So we'll look at that next week. The place of the Holy Spirit in Bible study. Hallelujah. Amen. So we're investigating how to study the Bible. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. So let's continue. So where were we? How did I get here?
Okay, all, right? All authority. So the all will be in context, right? So what will be the context of all here? He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So the all authority is what? Heaven and on earth. That is the all. So the all authority is the heaven and the earth. The all there is the heaven and on earth. So when he says all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Hallelujah. So the authority of Christ is in the believer. That's what it means. The authority, Christ's authority is vested in the believer. He now said, based on that authority, he now said, go make disciples. That word disciples is the word used for how you enroll a child into a citadel of learning. How you enroll a child into a citadel of learning, where the child learns, or a pupil becoming a scholar. So that is the word disciple. Go and teach all nations. Go and make disciples. Matitio, to raise disciples. That's the word. So when he said, go raise disciples, go make disciples of every nation. Disciples of what? Disciples of my accomplishment. What is his accomplishment? Heaven and earth. Spoken of by Moses has come to be, or has come to pass, has been fulfilled. God tabernacles in man. Say, God makes students of this reality. Did you hear that? God makes students of this reality, or that heaven is in man. I hear me, much more than man that believes. So when a man believes, heaven is in him. Did you hear that? So he says, go make disciples of these accomplishments. What I've done by my resurrection. The Spirit of God is in man. So go make disciples of the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. Did you hear that? Because the heaven and on earth is the indwelling of the Spirit. So go make disciples of this. And that is why in verse 20, he now says, teaching them to observe all things that are commanded thee, and lo, I am in you always. Did you get that? Because that is what, that is the disciples you are asked to go raise. Go raise disciples of this accomplishment of thy indwelling, that I am in them. So in raising those disciples, you teach them the same truths. Hallelujah. Remember, those of us in convention, he never said goodbye. He never said goodbye. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Jesus never said goodbye. Jesus is still in the earth. Hallelujah. And he finds expression through you. Glory to God. He finds his expression through the believers. He never told the disciples goodbye. No. No. It was an angel. That said, as you see him go, you see him go. Angel. And you are sticking to the words of angels. Angels who know nothing about him. Don't worry, we'll discuss the ministry of angels next day. Hallelujah. So you understand the ministry of angels. Hallelujah. A believer doesn't learn from angels. No. It's the other way around. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He doesn't even know what was happening. He doesn't even know. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So therefore, we can't think he's coming back again. My God is coming back again. He went away. Went away to where? He went away to where? And he promised that he's coming. He left you to where? He never said goodbye. Glory to God. Jesus never said goodbye. Remember we said something. Said any gospel that teaches Christ has gone outside the earth is not the gospel of Christ, right? Have we said that before? It's not the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ teaches that Christ is in the believer. Jesus is still in the earth. He never left. No, he never left. He told the disciples in John chapter 14. He said, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. He never left. I will come to you. Hallelujah. He said, a little while. The world will not see me. The world will not see me, but you. Hallelujah. You will see me because I live in you.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
In my Father's house are many mansions.
Say, if you were also, I wouldn't have told you. I go prepare a place for you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
In my Father's house are many mansions. Mune. A place where a man stays to continue his work. So the work of Christ is carried on in us, through us. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. So Paul tells us how these disciples are raised. He says, via teaching. In verse 20, via teaching. So this is why teaching meeting is the vital meeting of the believer. You can never replace it. Never replace it. You cannot replace it. You cannot find spiritual growth. You know, I've been talking to us over our WhatsApp group concerning spiritual growth. I'll continue that tonight. It's not believers' conversion.
Hallelujah.
I'll continue that tonight. You can have spiritual growth. Listen to this. Outside teaching. And teaching will be done in the local church. Meaning, you can't have spiritual growth outside the local church. Do you understand? You can't have spiritual growth outside the local church. Outside the church. You cannot. You can never grow spiritually. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So, spiritual growth is achieved where? In the church. So, the church should be a Bible. It's not like my church used to have Bible study days and have Sunday service. No. The church is a Bible school. What should be done majorly first in the church is teaching Bible school. The church is a Bible school. That is why when you come for our meetings, you must come with Bible and paper. Did I say paper? Bible, Bible, and a writing material. We permit those who are coming for the first time to have a sheet of paper. But if you are a member, and after 1 week, you buy it. Right? Do you have any brethren that are using paper? Juku leaves.
You leave some. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we do not have, or we do not say we are going to church and we're going there to go and do bazaar and Roman service in the church. Then why are you going to? You are wearing haversack, wearing cap. Why are you going to drum me? You are carrying band. You are dressing like a civilized boy scout. I say I'm going to church. Which church?
You know,
say we are boys. What are you preaching? Are you working for promotion? Thank you. You now call you now grow to the point of Oga man of God. I'm a boys' brigade member. Where is the church? Church! You have been bred to become a boys' brigade captain. Captain is what? You don't know scripture. All you know is all that near banner. All the boys are in scripture. Are you leading to the spirit?
Glory to God. Sorry.
And you see, they came to church to do match pass. Oh, is it match pass or match pass? They are in church. Who? Bless her! Be church!
Be careful.
Bro, sister, be careful. Hallelujah. In church. I know, if your father is a military man, you know that they enjoy it. Ah, my son is doing column party.
Yes.
Colour party to change direction left. Don't worry, I did it small for Iran. It was not profitable again. Hallelujah. I retired. I'm a pensioner. Hallelujah. We are told it was started up to help because of the stubbornness of boys. Stubbornness of boys. Okay. Can we continue?
Yes, sir.
And we join, we became more stubborn. Let's continue. Hallelujah. What he seek to cure, it brought. So So you don't go to church for such purposes. Say, you know, I need to go to church this weekend. Why? You know, I'm the women fellowship drummer. If I don't come to church, who will draw? Women fellowship, is this why I'm going to church? Say, you know, I need to go to church. I'm the one taking praise and worship. Look at your reason for going to church. What praise and worship are you singing?
Sambora de Ana, Sambora.
That's what they give the church to sing. Sure. Let's continue. The shame. Glory to God. So the church should be a Bible school. In Acts of Apostles chapter 19 into chapter 20, Paul met 12 brothers. He ministered to them. When he was passing by Ephesus, he stopped by to greet them. Now they become elders. Can you not manage them? He taught them for the space of how long? 3 years. He taught them publicly and privately. He taught them morning and night. He had it that Paul, in the morning before they go to work, they'll come and have Bible sections. They'll be taught before they go to work. Well, as soon as they are coming back, it's not Sunday, turn ego. They are coming back from work, tired. You are giving excuse, tired, backache, this ache. They sat down and they learned the scriptures again. In fact, you know that brother that fell, that came to church to sleep when Paul was teaching overnight? Hallelujah. He was sleeping to the bed. Hallelujah. When you are carried over by sleep.
Brother Sonny Jeff, can I hear you? Amen. Glory to God.
I didn't see anybody. I didn't see a word.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Carried over by sleep. We're teaching the word. Who's read from Peter. Right? In Acts of Apostles. That should be chapter 4 or 5. He taught them publicly and from house to house. And history had it that Peter will be done teaching them on a Sunday. On the Sunday, teaching, not SMS. Teaching. After he's done teaching, what happens? He goes to their houses. And you know, you're just done with church. That's how you want to go and use to cook stew and undone fish. Yeah, no, come on. Who is there now? It's Apostle Peter. Ah, man of God. Welcome, sir. Welcome to our house. Sir, what should I offer you? Bring your Bible. Sit down. Now to share the word with you. 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. Hallelujah. That is what the church, that is what the local church stands for. The local church is a place where we are groomed. If the local church said, this is said, I'm quoting, Pastor Shego, he said he's quoting Kenneth Hagin. So you see, we are quoting. Hallelujah. He said he's quoting Kenneth Hagin. He said the church, if the church carries on its responsibility, which is what Bible, the church is a Bible school, there will be no need for a Bible school. Because the church is the Bible school. Where we are, the church is where we are supposed to learn the scriptures. Are you hearing me? You learn scriptures where? In the church.
So I have to become a pastor now, I want to go to Bible school.
Because you are not taught well. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay. So, special meetings like Holy Ghost meetings. Let's look at 1 Corinthians first of all. So, the church is where we are taught the word of God, right? Now, is that what I said? Let's look at something again that happens when believers gather. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. You see, how is it then, brother, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. Hallelujah. So when we come together, it's to edify ourselves. It's to get edified. So special meetings, like the Holy Ghost meeting, Believers Convention. is held to edify the church. Hallelujah. Remember, in the Holy Ghost meeting, the teaching is given first place, right? Right? Teaching of the word is given first place. The gifts of the Spirit are in full manifestation, are given expression, right? And all are blessed. 1 Corinthians 14:23-24. Therefore, if the whole church come together in one place and all speak with tongues, and they come in those who are uninformed or those who are unbeliever, will they not say you're out of your mind? If all prophesies and the unbeliever or the uninformed person comes in, he's convinced by all and is convicted by all. Hallelujah. So he or she is blessed. Glory to God. So the next question will now be, why do we gather? Why do we gather? 1 Corinthians 11:17. Confess 11:17. Now in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better but for the worse. Meaning our coming together should be for the better. So Paul is telling them, because of what we'll later see in verses 23 to 26, you don't say their coming together was not for the better. Because when they come together, they were struggling over food. Understand? Some those who have don't share with those who do not have. What people have confused today for Holy Communion. For, you know now, for drinking tasty time and bread. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay. We want to take Holy Communion. Sean. Okay. So we gather to get better. That's what Paul is saying. Your gathering was for the worse, not for the better. Meaning, if they had gathered for the main thing, it would have been for the better, right? And that's why Paul changes their activities. He uses, if you read chapter 11, he spoke to them about, he cautioned them as regards eating, right? Then chapter 12, what did he teach about? Concerning spirituals. Did you get that? Chapter 13 spoke about love. So in our coming together, we must pay attention to the spirituals, to the gift of the Spirit, which are faculties within the believers, right?
Yes, sir.
Walk in love, hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
That brings about what edification in chapter 14. Did you get that? So Paul will now write to them as regards what? Spirituals. Meaning the major reason why we come together to get better is because of what? The Spirit of God having expressions through us. Did you get that? Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. Chapter 10, verse 23. Are you there? If you are there, I'm there. He says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promises is faithful. Say, therefore, let us consider one another to stir up love, and good works. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves as the manner of some, but exalting one another so much more as you see the day approaching. You know, this scripture actually nullifies those who say, you should not have, church is not for every day. This scripture, verse 25. Let's look at verse 24. He says, stir up. So our coming together is to stir us up forward good works. So when we come together, love is stirred up, right?
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
For good works. So take note of that word, good works. We'll get to that shortly. It will come out shortly. In Romans 1 verse 11, look at Paul. Romans 1 11. He says, for I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts, that you may be established. So our gathering is to the end that we get imparted with spiritual abilities. That word gift is the word charisma. It's the word that implies abilities. Hallelujah. What is freely given that is yours? Charisma. Hallelujah. That's the word in Greek, charisma. So, he says, our coming together is to the end that we get imparted with what? Spiritual abilities. So listen to what Paul is saying. He said, I long to see you. That means that something must not be lost here. Physical meetings should never be treated with a carefree attitude. Physical meetings. Do you hear me? Physical gathering. Paul is saying, I long to see you. In fact, if you look at all script, if you look at all meetings in the scriptures, they were done with everybody there. If you look at all the meetings throughout scriptures, they were done with everybody being around. So it was all they had was physical meetings. Are you hearing me? Glory to God. They had physical meetings. So you don't treat, listen, you don't treat believers' gathering with laxity, with a carefree attitude, especially when you have an opportunity to gather to be taught the word. Watch it when you begin to withdraw and not be around for believers' gathering, when you are taught the word. Watch it when coming to sit down to learn the word is becoming, not go and sit down, don't be teaching long sermon. Watch it, you are backsliding. It's a sign of a backsliding believer. When you begin to preempt,
oh, Shebi is just, it will start from Matthew 28.
I know, now Matthew 28 will start. Where am I going? See, he's going to talk about heaven and earth in the same place. You see, you are backsliding.
Me that I'm saying it, I'll still say it in the next 6 years.
Have you?
I'll keep saying it. Glory to God.
Glory to God. So never treat, never make believers gathering, never commonize it in your eyes. I'm hitting on this very strong. Never commonize believers gatherings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Being around for believers' meetings should not be replaced with social media. I know there are some churches that are now doing online church. In fact, there's a brother. He always seeks to. Young guy. You count how many years he has been in ministry. He's pinch of salt. I'm not being proud. Me, I'm still very young in ministry. But he's not even up to 2 years in ministry. And what he's doing is online church. So you know, you don't need to worry. The word of God is coming to you in the comfort of your house. When have I heard that? Don't need to worry. Don't need to press. You know, while you are sleeping, just bring out your power. Just log on to www.youtube.com/, or you log into my Facebook page and you watch live. No need for church. Church is coming to your house. Church at the comfort of your door. Spiritual activities are not for marketing. Take your physical products to the market stand. Don't bring marketing skills into the church. You know I'm saying this because I'm a marketer. Those of you who know knows, you can market anything, but not the gospel. Hallelujah. There's nothing I cannot market. Come to my profession, I go market. I can even market you to yourself. Hallelujah. So don't try me there, but it's my own field. Hallelujah. But I can do that with the scriptures. Hallelujah. Did you get me? I can't take that to the scriptures. And what he's explaining online, he just he's just multiplying errors. What is the reason for, Pastor Wisdom, help me with that thing. What is the reason for Genesis what again? Genesis 1, Abi. What is it for creation? This is for creation was now Exodus. He just modeled things up.
And the moment I said, I just replied, "Man of God, I have a question for you." He deleted that post online. Whenever I comment, he deletes it. I've chosen what to do. No, you don't need to know. But be careful of such. Follow who I follow. I don't follow who I don't follow. The fact that somebody is my friend on Facebook, he might be on probation. Don't say because it's Pastor Smart's friend. Let me add friend. Mutual friend. I do that a lot. If I see your friend request, I want to know who you are following. Who are your friends? I do it a lot. Some people, they've been on my friend want list for weeks. Weeks! But some that I already have chosen as friends, in my mind, I'm giving them probation. Some of them I've marked them, you'll not cross 2019 with me. No, keep you aside. Yes, now. Maybe just discover that my Facebook friend has reduced to 200. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? You will not come online. I will not be explaining nothing. The mystery behind giving and receiving. If you don't give, you cannot be blessed. Young guy, there should be plain scripture. Cliche. Never neglect physical gatherings. Are you hearing me? Never. And don't replace learning of the word for social media. Don't. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, if let's go back to that Hebrews. It says, for love and to good works, right? Look at 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 15. It says, say for my child, you've known the holy scriptures, right? Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Through what? Before our child do breakfast, you've known the Holy Scripture. Open them, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. It says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for what? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped, right? For good works. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So, remember, it's profitable for Philemon, right? For what? Doctrine. Doctrine is what? Teaching. So, the teaching of the word is to the end that we are what? Equipped for what? Good works. Right? Okay. For good works. So, good works there will not mean what? Ministry is in view. We're going to see that shortly. So, meaning that believers' gathering is to stir us up for ministry. Believers' gathering. All believers, I'm going to separate something right now. Believers' gathering is to stir us up for what? Ministry. I'm going to separate something right now. Look at 2 Timothy 2:2. Listen to this now. It said, the things which you've heard from me among many witnesses, it said the same commit, right? Parastitemi, unto faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Listen. The things which you've learned from me among many witnesses, it said the same commit to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. Meaning, listen, you are taught to teach. Are you hearing me? So, teaching is to the end that you become what? A teacher. When you go to school to read carpentry, you end up being a carpenter, right? Right? It's only in Nigeria and in a bank that you go to school to learn mechanic and you end up being a banker. You know that? But you cannot go to school to learn banking and want to become a lawyer. You do law in your father's village. Do you understand that? So you are trained in a profession to be a master of that profession. So therefore, now listen. When you come to church to learn of God, to learn the scriptures, you are taught to the point, or you are taught to be a teacher. Do you understand me? You are taught to teach others also. So ministry is in view.
So when you come to believers' meeting like this, when you come to church, when you go to church, I'm about separating two things. Do you understand me? I need to follow closely. Now, though you can't separate them, but I'm going to do that division for us. Do you understand me? Here. Now, when you come to church and you learn of God, you learn the scriptures, listen, you must prepare you to want to teach. Right? How many of us, after you don't hear the Bible or the way the scriptures are explained in meetings, when you go into the week, you just want to go out, win souls, and teach people, right? What is learned, right? Hallelujah. Ministry, I mean, the teaching of the word will propel or will raise teachers. I am. Look at that same 2 Timothy, look at chapter 3, verse 10. That's in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. He says, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, which is teaching, manner of life, purpose, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecution, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch and Iconium, at Lystra, what persecution I endured, and out of them the Lord delivered me. Yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ will suffer persecution. For evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Verse 14, but you must continue in the things which you have learned, and assured of knowing from whom you've learned them, and from a child. Did you see that? You must continue in what you have learned. When Paul says, write like this, you must continue what you have learned, he has ministry in mind. You must continue in what you've learned, meaning you keep learning. Yes, hallelujah. Amen. That's the word to be steadfast. You stay put there. You keep learning. And the underlying word is what ministering you. Look at chapter 4. You know, that is what flows into from a child you've known, the Holy Spirit, which are able to make thee wise. And who are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And the man of God may be equipped, may be furnished totally, I mean thoroughly equipped unto good work. Yes, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead that is appearing, and his kingdom. He said, preach the word. Did you see that?
Yes, sir.
So what is in view? Preaching of the word. So Timothy is learning to teach. He said, preach the word. He said, in season and be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. Did you see that? So ministry is in view. Teaching is in view. So the church coming to service should propel ministry. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? You are taught to teach others. That is spiritual growth. And that is why I told us that spiritual growth can be seen. It's not abstract. Oh, it can be seen. It's visible. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. It can be seen. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Let's look at Acts of Apostles chapter 2. Now, during a special meeting, like a Holy Ghost meeting, we just looked at generally what believers' meetings are for, right? When believers come together. Oh, I was supposed to separate, I'm supposed to teach us on that line, believers' meeting and Holy Ghost meeting, right? We've done it now, but I guess I didn't show the distinction, right? I didn't do that. I'll do that before our believers' convention. Hallelujah. Now we understand that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But just permit me. Let us flow. Now, during a Holy Ghost meeting, the Holy Ghost meeting is a kind of a believer's meeting. Right? It's a believer's meeting. And during a Holy Ghost meeting, I just showed us what generally coming to church should stir us up. Hallelujah. Did you get that? Which a Holy Ghost meeting too would do. Are you hearing me? Which a Holy Ghost meeting to will do, will prepare you to do. Now look at this. During the Holy Ghost meeting, Acts of Apostles chapter 1, right? Now it said, now when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were where? In one accord, right? They were in one accord in one place.
And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Right? Okay. So this is a typical of the Holy Ghost meeting. Right? Something was heard, something was said. Now, when they had, they were done with the Holy Ghost meeting. Listen, I want you to get something. Now, when they had the Holy Ghost meeting, some people came in, right? Who are those people? Let me know if you have been following teaching. Who are those people? Huh? Say the G. Who are they? From Paul's teaching. Who are they? The unlearned and the unbelievers. So unbelievers came in. The unlearned came in. That's on 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 23. We just read it 9 to 24. Yeah? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. So when the whole church come together, right? And they all speak with tongues. Are they coming one who is uninformed or an unbeliever? I say, will you not see your heart or your mind? Did you see that? So the things of the Spirit are strange to unbelievers and are strange to believers who are not taught well. You know, when we did a gallery, although we were looking at us, so those are the things of the Spirit. So they are strange to what? The uninformed or the unbelievers. So now, why they had the Holy Ghost meeting? The unbelievers came and said, this guy is drunk. Do you get that? The unbelievers said so. And this guy is drunk because they were Jews. They were having a Jewish festival. Pentecost is a Jewish festival for a new beginning. Hallelujah. Amen. So this is happening 46 or 47 days after Jesus' resurrection. Hallelujah.
Amen.
How did you know? Come for GPL and you know. Okay, let's continue. It's for 6 days. Hallelujah. So now, listen. So the unbelievers, they saw that. I said, this guy is the drunk. Listen to me. Now, that is where some people now do. I say, no, when you speak in tongues, people, you are speaking other people's language. Where did they learn that from? Unbelievers. How dare you learn from unbelievers? Is your case not like those who pay 50 million or 1 million to get a VIP ticket to listen to Basque Mount? I will not give in the church. Your case is like that now. You don't understand. You just hold it there. Don't go further. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But you get what I'm saying? You don't learn from unbelievers. In fact, Paul taught us what happened there. Right? Paul taught us what happened there. In verse 24 of 1 Corinthians 14, he said, if you all prophesy. Right? If you all prophesy, what happened? They are convinced and they will say God is truly amongst you. Was that what happened in Acts 2? Yes. So meaning what they did, that they spoke in tongues and they gave what? Interpretation of their tongues. So Paul makes us see that. And when Peter was to explain it, he explained it as what? Prophecy. I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, on all flesh, right? So your sons and daughters shall what? Prophesy. Did you get that? Tongues and interpretation. Did you follow that?
Yes.
Uh-huh. So what they heard was what the interpretation. Remember they said they were drunk. So that means they didn't hear anything. They didn't hear any part of the tongues. Did you understand that? Uh-huh. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So it was the interpretation that they heard. And they understood, this is the language. Yes, but the tongues they did not hear. You see, if you are speaking in tongues, I should be speaking another man's language. You see your life. When you know the Bible well, you're reading it from upside down. Read well. Come for meetings where you are taught. Value that. Value to be taught the word of God. You cannot be a child of God and you don't like teaching meetings. What which child you are? You have to look at it critically. Say, you know, I want to go to church where everything is vibe, you know. You hear pam 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 pum pum, ah, Holy Ghost is here.
sorry, Pastor Wilson, Jeff cannot do that. He will be playing off key. He will be throwing you off. So, you understand? So, we are managing him. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Let's round up now. Let's round up. Few minutes left. Okay. Okay, few minutes left. And we're gone. Pastor Sonny Jeff, I love you, you know. Uh-huh. We'll go and learn keyboard. Well.
You came like the way when they sign a new player.
When Chelsea signed Torres. Ah, the Chelsea might say that.
When they signed Torres, I said, ah, I love a striker. And he lost going good.
When you come from Ghana, ah, I was on here, he handles the key. And he came, handle key now. Lord bless you.
Hallelujah.
Now, listen, after the Holy Ghost meeting, something to look at now.
After that, you know, the unbelievers came, right? Something to note from Peter. Peter was a guy who was timid.
Right?
Very, he was timid before now. In fact, when they took Jesus, he denied.
That was as a result of fear.
Right? He denied and ran away. In fact, they were hiding. A little girl exposed him. So they were hiding.
But after the Holy Ghost meeting, in verse 14, Peter stood up. Hallelujah. And he spoke. Glory to God. Hallelujah. From verse 14 to verse 38, Peter taught with boldness after the believers meeting.
He thought, and how many people were saved? Mark that 3,000 were added.
So, Peter, after the believers' meeting, or after the Holy Ghost meeting, was what? Bold to preach the gospel. So, two things you get. Peter was bold, and he preached the gospel. Take that down. He preached, and he preached from all the scriptures. Glory to God. This is Peter. Remember before now, he had been taught by Jesus how many days? 40 days. Look at chapter 4. They threatened them. 29, they came to their own. Verse 31, they lifted up their voice, right? And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke the word of God with what? Boldness. So after they had the believers meeting here, they had the Holy Ghost meeting here. Hallelujah. They had the Holy Ghost meeting here. And after the Holy Ghost meeting, what happened? They were filled with boldness. Hallelujah. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. Meaning, they preached. Right? Take note of that again. Acts 4:31. If I were to be you, I've written Acts 2, right? 14 to 38. Peter was bold and preached boldness. Acts 4:31. After the Holy Ghost meeting, they spoke the word of God with boldness. I mean, they preached with boldness. That word boldness is from the Greek word parousia. Parousia. If I didn't spell it wrong, yeah. Parousia means to speak freely without fear. To speak freely without fear. They are not afraid of her. What if they slap us? Because they just threaten them. They threaten them. That you must not be caught preaching the gospel again. For catch you preaching that name. And when they took the threats to their company, their company there will mean the local church, right? Mm-hmm. They came to the local church. They prayed. They had believers in them. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And when they were done, they were full with boldness. And they spoke the word of God with the same boldness. Hallelujah. Take note of that.
So that was parousia. You find it in Acts.
I mean, that was the same incident or similar thing that happened to Peter after the Holy Ghost meeting. Peter preached with boldness. Verse 40 says 3,000 were saved. 3,000 were saved. Look at verse 33 of Acts 4.
Acts 4:33. With that boldness, look at what happened. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And great grace was upon them. The great grace that was upon them was verse 34. But they did what? They witnessed to his resurrection. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So therefore, take note of this key. We've seen Acts 2, Acts 4. We're going down to other books of Acts where we have Holy Ghost meeting. Now, take note of this. 3,000 were saved. They spoke the word of God with boldness. This is Christ's mandate. I wrote it here. This is Christ's mandate. What is Christ's mandate? Go make disciples. Stand up for good works. So the good works will be what? Christ's mandate to make disciples. Did you hear that? Hallelujah. So winning. At Mark 16:15-17. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And this sign shall accompany those who believe. In my name they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. If they shall drink any deadly, it shall not. Hallelujah. Luke 24:47-49. And that repentance and remission of sin will be preached. In John 20:23, Jesus said to them, whoever sins here will meet shall be repented. And whosoever sins here retained is retained. That is talking about preaching the gospel. When a man believes the gospel, his sins are forgiven. Did you remember that?
Yes.
Understanding the gospel 2a, right? Go and get that message. Listen to it. Understanding the gospel 2a. Hallelujah. Make sure you listen to messages. Because I'll be flowing for, you know, there's a flow, right?
Yes.
Special meetings like that, special teaching meetings like that are where we drive the flow for subsequent teaching meetings. Understand? So you always learn to listen to them over and again. Hallelujah. Because we'll keep making references to them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. He spoke to Peter in Matthew 16. He said, I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of God, of heaven. That whatsoever thing you bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thing you lose on earth shall be lost in heaven. He's saying the same thing. When a man believes the gospel. Do you understand me? When a man believes the gospel, he's forgiven. That is forgiveness of sin. Forgiveness of sin is in believing the gospel. Are you hearing me? It's in receiving salvation. That is forgiveness of sin. The indwelling of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, Holy Ghost meetings. Oh, let me say something before I say what I want to say. Soul winning is Christ's number one's body in this earth, for the earth. Christ's number one body for the earth. If that's Jesus today. If Jesus is to show up physically here, I ask him, what will you be? What will you find him doing? You'll find him winning souls. Is his number one body. Do you understand? So soul winning is Christ's number one body. Therefore, we can say Holy Ghost meetings. During Holy Ghost meetings, believers gather. And we are all stirred up to carry out Christ's body in the earth. We are stirred up to do the work of Christ. So, do you get me?
Yes, sir.
We receive the mandate. And the mandate will be what? Geared towards Christ's number one body, which is what? Soul.
Did you get me?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Christ's number one body. Look at Acts chapter 13. Acts 13. From verse 1 into 3. Now the church which was at Antioch, they were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who is called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, is it going to come from the sky or from a believer? From a believer. So it's a Holy Ghost meeting, right? The believer's meeting, right? Okay. And the Holy Ghost said, separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. When they had fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and sent them away. Look at verse 4. Into verse 5. And being sent out by the Holy Ghost, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews. And, they also had John as their assistant. Take note of this. During the Holy Ghost meeting in Acts 13, 1 to 3, Paul and Barnabas received, let's put it like this, Paul, Barnabas assisting him, right? We saw that subsequently, right? Received a confirmation for ministry. Glory to God. So in believers' meeting, we receive direction. Correction on what to do. We receive directions. We receive corrections on what to do. We're also setting we're also having our own believers' convention coming up first week of January. Hallelujah. First week of January. But this is what should happen after that believers' convention also. Hallelujah. Ha ha, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So during believers' meeting, we receive directions. We receive correction on what to do. Very vital in verse 3. Hands were laid. So during believers' meetings, we can also receive the ministry of laying on of hands. Glory to God. Ministries are abetted during Holy Ghost meetings. Ministries are abetted. And after that meeting, what happened? Verse 5. They were found doing what? Preaching. Right? They were found doing what?
Preaching.
Look at Acts 6. They needed people to serve tables. Acts 6 verse 6. And they chose, they chose seven men full of the Holy Ghost. In verse 6. And when they set them before the apostles, they were chosen to do what? Serve tables. When they set them before the apostles, what happened? When they had prayed, they laid hands on them. The ministry of laying on of hands. Right? Hallelujah. Hands were laid. What is the result in verse 8? Stephen and Philip acted on what they had received and found them doing what? They were preaching. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They were preaching. Ministry was better. Ministry was better. Look at Paul, Acts of Apostles chapter 9. Hands were laid on Paul. Acts of Apostles chapter 9, verse 17, and this is where we round up. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you come, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be full of the Holy Ghost. Immediately, there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once. And he arose and was baptized. And when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Immediately, verse 20, look at the result of that. Immediately he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. So after hands were laid on Paul, what did Paul do? We found him doing what? Preaching the gospel. So after a Holy Ghost meeting, listen to this now. We are always, remember, we live through the door with rejoicing, right? We are strengthened. We are stirred up to love. And much more effective in soul winning and discipleship. After a Holy Ghost meeting, we are stirred up to discipleship. Christ will pioneer Christ's work. The Holy Ghost will pioneer Christ's work. And Christ's work is what? Soul winning. So the Holy Ghost meeting is to stir us up to be much more effective in Christ's work, in soul winning. Are you following me? The mandate you received during the Holy Ghost meeting is to set you on the course to preach Christ much more. And you have to obey. You know, there's such a thing as the leading of the Spirit, and there's such a thing as following the leading. Hope you know that. Yeah. You can receive the leading of the Spirit. You can have a leading, but you're not obeying it. You're not following it. So in following the leading of the Spirit, you obey. Obedience is important. It's important, brother. Obedience is important in the leading of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So after a believer's meeting, I flow with the Spirit. See? I flow with what the Spirit is doing in the earth. That is what it's all about. You are stirred up to flow what the Spirit of God is doing in the earth. And what is it? Soul winning. Hallelujah. In following Christ. You cannot say you are following Christ and you are not winning souls. Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my heart. And you're not winning souls. You're not following him. Because what will Jesus be doing? He's winning souls. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So, you know, after a meeting like this, like a Holy Ghost meeting, you get on the street. It's time to get on the street. It's time to take very serious that time for personal evangelism. It's time to take it serious. Because during Holy Ghost meeting, you are improved upon to go win soul. So you take soul winning serious. Personal. You take it serious. Don't just hear it and say, I know it. You hear it to do it. Obedience is in obeying. Don't become an ogaman of God. There is no such a position in heaven. Jesus said, he that wants to be the greatest must also forsake. So there's nothing like boss in the kingdom. Everybody is doing the Master's work. Even Jesus, God Himself. Remember John 1:18. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. He has explained Him. Jesus explains God. Right? So you come to know God in Christ. You cannot know God outside Christ. So you come to understand God in Christ. So when Jesus showed up on the earth, God showed up on the earth. What you find Jesus do is what God does. Did you get me? So what did you find Him doing? Always preaching the gospel. So, meaning, listen, God's number one body is what? Soul winning. That's God's number one body. It's soul winning. Never look down on it. Never say, I used to. When it becomes in the past, you are backslidden. Don't wait until you see the next person before you want to win souls. No. To win souls. Don't say, I'm just born again last week. Born again, no. Go and win souls. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're just like a man recruited into the army. You're not recruited to come and say, I've seen a baby soldier. You are recruited to be alert. Right? You're on the alert. When it is time, you defend the country. Right? You're on the alert. The same way. I don't know what the boys' brigade is for, but they say show and steadfast. So you're on the alert. Alert or what? I don't know. Hallelujah. Amen. In the kingdom. You are born again to lead others to Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You are given to God's number one body. So win. You are not an effective believer if you are not found winning souls. You are not an effective believer. You can know Greek and Hebrew. But if you are not winning souls, you are an irresponsible believer. You are not an example to be emulated. See, I just read my Bible. I just try to know God personally. You are an irresponsible example of a believer. And you must not be found living people until you begin to win souls.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
You must be found winning souls. Say, I take on God's number one business in the earth.
God's number one business in the earth.
I was found winning souls.
I don't get tired.
I don't get weary.
I don't get weary.
I keep winning.
Winning souls.
Let me just, you can see it. Let me just round up by saying this, even as we need to go. Let's be on our feet. You know, we wouldn't have had the epistles we have. Listen to this. And I dare to say it boldly. Look at what we have from Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Colossians, Ephesians, Timothy, Thessalonians, Philemon. As I'm telling you, concentrate. We're still in the service. Imagine we don't have those Philippians, Philemon, Titus, Romans. Just imagine those books are not there. Imagine there is no Paul. The teacher some of the things that we know. Just set your mind on it. But you know, it took one man. It took Stephen to be bold to preach about Christ. When Stephen spoke about Christ, Paul didn't accept the gospel. He didn't. But, you know, that simple obedience to that early morning cry. That simple obedience to just share the word of God on the bus, in the bus. That simple obedience to just get to the street. That simple obedience to talk to the few people you see in your Okada stand. It's not necessary that so that you want to see thousands of people come and say, I want to receive the gospel. But that simple obedience is all that a man needs to believe in the next coming, in the coming of the year, in the coming days. Paul didn't receive it immediately. But it is a seed. It is a seed. The word of God. I'm not talking about sharing messages on Facebook and WhatsApp. I'm talking about evangelism. Where you just say, I want to preach from Oshodi down to, from Philadelphia down to Oshodi. And you get on the bus. You pay the fare. You transport down to Oshodi. You come back. You preach. Inside the bus, you come down, you cross again, you preach down to PWD, you cross again, you end up from PWD again. You just say, I want to preach, and you pay your fare. Everyone, you are not preaching, I'm saying, the Lord has laid on your hand to give up faith. I catch you. You preach, you pay your fare, and you are preaching Christ. Maybe a short journey, but you know, there's a stirring in our hearts for that. There's a stirring in our heart for that. Hallelujah. There's a stirring in our heart for that. You just get on the bus to Ikorodu. Just to preach the gospel. Just to preach Christ. You might say, people are not listening to me. Just preach the gospel. Will Jesus preach the gospel in the bus? Yes, he will. Will he preach the gospel to those by the keke park? Yes, he will. Will he get into the money market and preach? Yes, he will. Will he give a morning cry? Yes, he will. Will he go around the street of Oshodi? Yes, he will. Can he do it today? Yes, he will. And how will he do it? Through you. We'll give expression to him. Yes, he will. Let's sing this song. You lead.